having good counsel, the importance of Jesus being the wonderful counselor, and the extreme importance of letting him counsel you, listening to what he says, and practicing it. Then I came over to this. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteousness. And I stopped right here this morning and went on over to the last sheet. I just wanted to let you all out at noon. Now in Psalm 33:10-22, all these words where you see counsel, that's the same identical Hebrew word that's used for counselor. And Jesus is a wonderful counselor. So it's the same word and means the same thing. Here he says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. There are a lot of different institutions, people, training organizations that are able to train you, even including Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And they can transform you into somebody that's personable, likable, able to convince people of things. And they can turn you into a good businessman. They can turn you into a money-making machine if you'll practice it. The only problem is, after you do all that, and if you are eminently successful, and you do turn into a person that has just about all the wealth he can use, plus a surplus that you just keep trying to build up more, in the end, it doesn't do you one bit of good. Because that's the counsel of the heathen, and the devices of the people that use this sort of thing, whether it be in war or whatever it may be, when their life is over, it's finished, it's done with, and you cannot take it with you, and it's all left here behind. So there is a counsel that somebody can give you on this earth that may make you a lot of money, make you well-liked, make you eminently successful, but it all comes to naught. When you close your eyes for the last time, it's over. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Now, when God gives you advice, and he gives you counsel, that's something that lasts forever. So, if you took Brother Shipley's life, and you put it on the scale of what we call human success, as to how large a financial empire he left, or how many times he was elected president, or how many times he was the head of the city council, or how many times he performed some famous track act, how successful he was and how athletic he was and whatever he did in life. And you put that up on a scale against some other people, you'd be down pretty low. But you take Brother Shipley's life and the counsel that he took from the Lord and listened to and followed it, it has come to quite a bit. It hasn't come to naught, because it stands forever. And when Brother Shipley cashed in his chips the other night, he had a whole lot of chips. And that may not be a good adage to use, like in poker, but he went out of this life with more chips than anybody you can imagine. And when he got to heaven, he's got a great reward waiting for him there, and it lasts forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. How much influence do you think he had on Michael? How much influence do you think he had on Karen? How much influence do you think he had on all his grandchildren, great-grandchildren? You know where he got it? He got the counsel of the Lord. Brother Shipley wasn't any smarter than the rest of us. We're all born humans with certain capabilities and abilities. But Brother Shipley did one thing that's tremendously, unbelievably important. He listened to God, and he listened to his counsel. And he put God first in his life and in his heart, and his children and his grandchildren could see it. And he's got a bunch of preachers in his family now. His kids all love him. They're not sitting around wondering where Granddad went or where Dad went. Or they're not sitting around wondering, I wonder if he'll get anything in heaven. They know. That's a great comfort. And it's a great thing for a man or a woman to leave that behind. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Yes, it was Brother Shipley that they saw do those things. But it was the heart of God that changed his heart. And it was what made him the kind of man he was. And so that's the kind of thing to leave behind. That's counsel of God. There's no substitute for it. Studying the Bible is the most important thing that will ever happen in your life. Wanting to know what it says and believing it's the counsel of God. is the most important thing a saved person can participate in. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, when I was younger, I used to preach a lot about what's wrong with this nation. And I used to preach a lot about the immorality in it, all the terrible things that are happening, the murders, the perverts, all the different things, the homosexuals, all the terrible, unbelievable, ungodly things that are going on this earth. And I used to denounce them with great fervor and sling snot and saliva from one end of the stage to the other. After I passed about 65, I said to myself, what good is this doing? They're not here to hear it, and you're not going out there and confront them with it. And so I said, I'm just going to preach the Bible and let it change me and the people who are sitting there listening to it. And when they go out in this world, if they can't see they're different, nothing else is ever going to change it. So I had a change of attitude, a change of thought about the heavy preaching I used to do on what's wrong with the world. You don't have to be a mental giant to figure it out. All you have to do is live in it for a week or two, and you'll discover. What's wrong with this nation? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He's not our Lord anymore. He's not our God. They say, well, they took him out of public schools. I know that, and we let it happen. A lot of people were like today's school and didn't care. I tried when I was in the public school. I really did. But it happened. Finally, I realized this is all part of the end times. It's when everything in this world is going to go down the tubes. That's the reason this nation is going down the tubes. It's the reason that when this tribulation period breaks out, there's going to be a lot of punishment going on in a lot of different places, and a lot of it are going to be in countries where these ungodly people parade themselves up and down the street, strutting and acting like they own the world, and they do not know the Lord as their God, and they even want to take his name off the money that we put out. They want to take it off public places. And the reason is, they're not afraid of God anymore. Remember this morning, he said, the one thing that's important is to fear God and keep his commandments. If you don't fear God, you won't keep his commandments. And if you don't fear God or keep his commandments so you do understand his power and his might, you're not going to be led to Christ. You're going to be led exactly the other way. And this country is going right down the tubes. There's nothing I can do to stop it. I can write letters to CBS, PDQ, FOB, COD, and IOU. I can get out here in parades and go up and down the street fighting abortion. I can do a multiplicity of these things. It will not stop it. If I thought it would stop it, I would do it. But it's not going to stop it. So what do we do? Well, we listen to the Word of God. We try to grow up, raise our children to listen to it. We try to meet those in places that we know that there seems to be some hope. And we talk to them about the Lord and the important thing that he ought to play, the role he ought to play in their life. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. You want to know something? We've got it made. We are his inheritance. We are his local church, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, quite frankly, we have a blessing that is the greatest blessing that can ever come to any human or any group of humans. We are one of his local churches. We are his people, and we are his inheritance. And we have not betrayed the cause. We have not become a nation of people who assemble together, a group of people that worship God. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. It's more important than your wife, your husband, your car, everything you own. It's the fact that you are a part of one of the small groups that God considers to be his children who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of habitation, he looketh down upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Right now, most of the people on this earth are scared to death that we're going to have a great world war. And quite frankly, we are. And they're scared to death. And they think if they build up enough weaponry, if they have enough atomic bombs, if they have a strong enough military, if they get all ready for it so they can win the war, that everything's going to be fine. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. In this war that's coming, you can have the greatest army on the face of the earth, and the Antichrist will. But that's not going to save him, because there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. Why? Because the Lord looketh down from his place of habitation. He looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Who do you think he's going to protect? A king that has no confidence in him? A king that builds up a great multitude and believes because he has a mighty army that they will defend him and that he will live and they will protect him. He doesn't have any protection in what's coming on this earth. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. You can be strong, you can be mighty, you can be clever, you can be intelligent, you can be the strongest man on the face of the earth, but that's not going to deliver you like God delivers. That's not going to keep your life safe in what's about to happen on this earth. It's not going to get you to heaven. The only one who's going to get you to heaven and keep you safe on this earth is Almighty God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. So if the rest of the United States wants to go their way, believe there's no God, take him out of the public schools, take his name off the public buildings, say he doesn't exist, say happy holidays instead of Christmas, be ashamed of the one who is their God, they'll do it. But let's not do it. Whatever we do, let's make certain that when Jesus comes, we are still believing, still practicing, still preaching, and still teaching, and our strength is still the Lord, and we're not saved by our own might, by the number of us, but by Christ. And Horace is a vain thing for safety. At the time that this was written, long ago, if a man had a great, huge horse, a powerful Arabian horse, that was a great battle horse, he had tremendous confidence, because if he didn't charge, he could always turn and run, and the man on him would be delivered from the battle. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Now here's what we need to know. I started this morning by showing you what Solomon said was the matter, the summation of the whole matter. He said, fear God and keep the commandments of God. I fear God. I fear the punishment of God. There are many things that if I were not aware that God was going to punish me for them, because of my carnal nature, I'd give in to them. You never reach the point in life where you become so Christianized, or so crystallized, or so sanctified, that you don't need the fear of God. God is my God, but it's a reverential fear. If you have a good father, there's going to be a certain reverential fear in you. Because you know if you do this, you know it's wrong. And you know your father's going to get you. So if that's the only incentive you've got, it's better that you have that incentive and not do it than to not have that incentive and go ahead and do it. Fear God. The Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Man, there I am. I'm totally hoping in his mercy. His mercy is true. I fear him. I respect him. I know he'll punish me if I go off the deep end and stay down there. I've toyed with the Lord for a long time. You say, you can't do that with the Lord. You can because he's merciful. You can because he's merciful. And I know just about how far I can go, and he's going to zap me. And sometimes I say, I think I'll just go a little further, and I get zapped. I thank God he's there. But I thank God he lets me get that far without completely destroying me. Truth of the matter is, we've got it made. So what's his purpose? To deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. All right. We're his children. We're imperfect children. We come to church. We come down here and worship him. We make mistakes when we worship him. We have thoughts. We get irritated. We get jealous. We get our feelings hurt. But we get over it. And after we get over it, we're thankful we have one another in this church that have this common bond. We fear God. We reverentially respect him. And every one of us hope in his mercy. And we believe that his mercy is sure. And we believe he has delivered our soul from death, that he will keep us alive in famine. That's a whole lot better than having a great and mighty army. Because great and mighty armies can easily be destroyed. And also, the little thing in here you call your ticker, your heart, that can go out at any time, can't it, Jack? You ever feel those little steel things in there? Did they put steel in yours when they sewed you up? You ever feel them in there kind of pricking you? I do too. That's a reminder And I say, well, I'm sorry I said that, Lord. And I repent very quickly, so I'll get a few more beats out of this old ticker. I respect him, and I fear him. Now, there's a lot of things that are important in Christian work. There's a lot of important things in your life that God looks into and wants to be a part of. And I know sometimes when you come down here and listen, Leonard teach Sunday school, Michael teach, and we just keep hammering on this Christian living. We just keep hammering on all that. And sometimes it gets boring. You wonder how long you're going to have to stay before we let you out. And it's just kind of a interesting soiree. Proverbs 19:19-21. A man of great wealth shall suffer punishment. Great wrath. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. That's a proverb. What does it mean? You get some guy that gets mad all the time and loses his temper and punches somebody in the nose. You go down and bail him out, and you're going to have to keep bailing him out for the rest of his life. You just hope he picks on somebody like Jack back there. You just hope he picks on somebody like Jerry and gets the crud stuffed out of him. Or you just leave him in jail and let him suffer his punishment. If you keep bailing him out and you keep trying to help him, he's going to keep losing his temper and he'll never have any punishment for it. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You'll have to do it over and over. He says, okay, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. This is a pretty good parable. Matter of fact, they're all pretty good. And he said, if you just keep delivering a man that has wrath all the time and keeps losing his temper, and they keep throwing him in jail, he said, don't go down and bail him out. He said, you keep doing that, he's just going to keep doing the same thing over again. That's pretty good advice. He says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. There's not a one of you here, not a male or female, that do not have devices in your heart. And they're not bad devices. You may know how to get things done. You may have found a way to work around and get this done and get that done and work on this and work on that. You may have done that. But the point that this proverb is making is this. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. He said, whatever you do, make sure it's not a violation that goes against the advice of the Lord. Because he says, that will stand. That will last. So the devices you have in your heart, they're not as reliable, as dependable, and certainly not as permanent as the counsel that God gives you. Now I'm going to close with this, and I am going to get you out of here on time. You know, after a while, a preacher just gets, I get feeling bad because I stay on you all the time. I don't stay on you, the Word does. But this is what I'm, this is, how many times have you heard me emphasize the importance of God's Word? And maybe it seems like preachers overemphasize it. Well, maybe so. And you've heard Leonard, and we stay on this all the time. Why? Because the Word is the counsel of God. And what's important about this church is not me. And it's not you. What's important about this church is it has the counsel of God. And this was something that Paul was acutely aware of, talked about all the time. So if everything else I've preached up to now has been kind of hither skither, please stick with me on this. And now behold, I know that you all whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He said, I'm headed for death. I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He says, something I've been doing, preaching the kingdom of God, he said, I don't have any blood guilt because I failed to do something for you. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's what this church is all about. That's what preaching is all about. That's what life is all about. This church has an obligation and a duty and a responsibility assigned to it by God. Not just to tell people how to be saved. That's first and foremost. But also to tell people how to live. And to give them God's advice. Straight from the book. That's why I use the book. That's why I don't come up with little clever ditties all the time. To declare unto you all the counsel of God. A church that doesn't declare all the counsel of God, the whole book, is negligent. And it robs you of something that is permanent and eternal and beneficial to you that goes out of this life with you when you leave. He said, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. You feed the counsel of God. You feed the Bible line by line, verse by verse, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He says, for I know this, that after my departing some grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Oh, they'll have clever little ditties. They'll have all kind of wonderful shows and demonstrations. But they won't feed you the whole counsel of God. Oh, they may give you the plan of salvation. They may teach you security of the believer. But they're not going to teach you much about the church, about the Lord's Supper, or about the doctrines of God that are important to God. They do not declare the full counsel of God. Also of your own selves, so men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, he means what he says here. And he did do it with tears. And they weren't crocodile tears. They were real, God-directed, spiritual tears. Here's what he said to them. And he says the same thing to me and to you. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's his counsel, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. When Brother Shipley came over here, we would talk sometimes out in the lobby. Brother Shipley loved the word. I'm not the most pleasant man in the world. I'm not the easiest pastor to get along with. But Brother Shipley loved me because he knew that I tried very hard to preach the whole counsel of God. And Brother Shipley was a man who studied the Word of God. He taught Sunday school himself. When he came here, he was just a little too old. It built him up, and it gave him a wonderful inheritance in heaven. He's there, and we're here, and our time will come. So the best thing that I can say to you and say to myself is, let's keep up with the counsel of God and let's not be led astray by all the different things that we see in missionary Baptist churches that appear to be quite pleasant, but they're really a diversionary tactic that leads people away from the Word and doesn't affect their hearts and their souls the way that God meant for it to. Brother Jerry McGee, would you dismiss us?